The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 7th day of April 2023. And tonight, like always, we have a whole lot to talk about. And tonight, our engineer and producer is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening.
And we have here, live in the studio, Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And we have, calling from the church in Warren, Pastor Dave Nadel. Pastor Dave?
Hello. Hello, yes.
All righty, good to have you here. And we expect
Thank you.
To,
good to, be
to
with
hear
you.
From John McTernan here pretty quick. Dave, we're going to start out tonight. We have a prayer request. Okay. We have a prayer request. And I'm going to ask you if you would pray. Here's a lady. Her name is Marjorie. And her daughter, Sarah Fries, has died on March 28th. Mm. And Sarah was 31 years old. And she thinks she died of an overdose. The autopsy hasn't confirmed it yet. But she needs prayer because she is going to be given a eulogy, and she has a real fear of speaking in front of people. And so would you pray for that, okay? And then also, she's asked us to pray for her son, Glenn Fries, for his salvation. And also, he said because he's an alcoholic, and so, and for her brother Michael's salvation. So, if you would pray for Marjorie, that the good Lord would be with her and give her the courage to boldly give a eulogy for Sarah Fries.
Sure. Well, Father, we just come to you right now, and we lift up this eulogy. We pray for a peace. Father, I rebuke and just ask that you take away any spirit of fear, and I pray for a calmness and a rest in Jesus' name. And Father, what a situation to be in, but we would just thank you for your mercy and grace in that. We do pray for the fellow, Lord God, for the salvation of his soul, that he would be turned around also. And Lord, in the midst of this, I pray that you just cause your word to be exalted, and Father, to touch the hearts of these people as they listen. And Lord, again, we pray for a peace and a rest. And Father, we know sorrow endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning, as the scripture tells us. And Father, just thank you for your loving kindness and your grace. And we give you all the praise, believe you to see these things come to pass. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Glenn Fries, but I know, Lord, you do.
Yes.
And his mother says that he needs salvation. And so, Lord, we want to hold him along with Michael and Bridget Wilkie. We want to hold all three of them up and just ask, Lord, Father God, that maybe this might be the very night. This might be the very night where they might repent of their sins and call upon you, Lord, Father God, and instead of having a future in a lake of fire, that they would have a future in glory, Lord God, that they would repent and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and Father, again, we just thank you, Lord, for mothers that they care enough for their children and their family to ask for prayer. And so, again, we want to hold them up and ask that you bring them to repentance, turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way, Lord, that they might, and that you might use them in a mighty way to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go right to our scripture here. And Dave, and we're going to be in reading from Matthew chapter 27. And Ron, just read verse 51.
And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
Okay, now, the torn veil from top to bottom was not caused by the earthquake. This happened before the earthquake took place. And remember, the Bible is not in chronological order. If you try to study it in chronological order, you'll end up with a dog's breakfast of doctrine, if you will. And so here, the tearing of that veil, and by the way, that veil was very, very thick. And it was 4 to 6 inches thick, and it was 11 to 14 feet high. And so the fact that it was torn from top to bottom completely in half shows you that that was a miraculous event. God did that. Now, here, that means that Christ had now opened the way for all to enter directly into the presence of God. And if we go over to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, we read here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he went consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, so we don't have to go before a priest nowadays because we've become a nation of priests, and we don't have to enter into a little cubicle and ask for an intercessor. We can go directly to the Father. And do you want to add to that, Dave, at all?
Well, sure. And the fact that it also talks about tearing down that middle wall of partition. As you know, when we are in Israel, we see the temple, and we go to the model city there. And there was the outer court, the court of the Gentiles, and so on. That middle wall that was actually a solid wall around was torn down. All a part of what he did by the veil being torn in two.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to go ahead and read from 52 all the way through to 56. And here we're going to see that the saints whose bodies were raised were those who had died in faith before the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until Christ had set them free, their souls had been resting in the division of what we call Hades, or called Abraham's bosom, if you will. Now again, the Bible is not in chronological order. The Old Testament saints were seen for a very, very brief period in their glorified bodies between Christ's resurrection and his initial ascent into heaven. And we So go ahead and start at verse 52 and read it through 56. Yeah, you.
Okay. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him.
Okay. So, again, this was his initial ascent right into heaven. I wanted to, is when you saw the saints in their glorified bodies walking around. I want to jump just for a minute over to John chapter 20 and read verse 17. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend into my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene, and he came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that had spoken these things unto her. So here we see that, again, we serve a living Savior, don't we? Amen.
Absolutely. Yes.
And alrighty, well, we're going to just stop there tonight because we're going to play a little bit of a clip. Normally we go on, but we're going to play a little bit of a clip. And if you have that clip potted up, the one with Tucker Carlson, go ahead and bring it up.
History, the Republican Party's frontrunner in the upcoming presidential race, indicted on charges that didn't seem real. Donald Trump gave a speech last night, which we, as you know, took live from Mar-a-Lago. We're still trying to figure out the implications of all of this, so we thought we would ask Jason Whitlock, who has been thinking a lot about it. He's the host of Fearless, and he joins us tonight. Jason, thank you so much for coming on. And I wanted to talk to you last night. You don't seem to have audio, but I hope without a prompt you can still answer my question. Is Jason Whitlock back? I don't think so.
Yes. Yes.
There he is. Can you hear us, Jason Whitlock?
Yes, I can.
Amen. So what did you think of yesterday?
Tucker, it took me to the Bible, quite honestly. All times are biblical, but man, this really seems like we're in some end times here. And it really took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Verse 14, God talks, or the Bible talks about, you can't have partnership. The righteous can't have partnership with the lawless. And that's not me calling Trump the most righteous person in the world, but anybody looking at this knows that Alvin Bragg and the Democratic and the leftists are lawless. They don't believe in fair justice, equal treatment under the law. They don't believe in that. And so you can't have partnership with them. And then if you go down to verse 17, Paul talks about God's instruction that you got to come out from among them and separate. That's what God instructed. And that's where I think we actually are, Tucker, is these guys are so far removed from the truth, so far removed from any of the values that made this country great. We can't really have partnership with them. And my mindset went to secession, that we have to separate. We have to come out from among them. They're so unrighteous. They're so unclean that, you know, finding common ground is impossible with people who think men can become women, who told us, hey, look, we just want two men to be able to get married, and there's no slippery slope. And that was a lie. And we've seen the slippery slope. Now it's drag queens reading books to kids. Now it's taking kids to drag queen shows. Now it's mutilating kids and infecting them with gender dysphoria and using it as an excuse to cut off their breast or cut off their penis. You can't have peace. You can't have partnership with these people. There are so many lies stacked on top of lies from the whole Black Lives Matter, George Floyd deal, and oh, the police are just out indiscriminately killing black men and it's so dangerous because of the police. That's all a lie and everybody knows it. We can't find common ground with people who have no respect for the truth, no respect for justice, no respect for fairness. we have to think about going our separate ways. And whether that's through secession or whether that's through some sort of national divorce, it has to be on the table, because you just can't find common ground with people this delusional who think that they're God and they can make up the rules. And so I don't see a pathway forward for those of us that respect America's founding, have traditional values, have a faith in God. We got to separate. And I don't care how it's done, but I just don't see a way to coexist with people this far removed from truth.
I think most decent people, no matter, you know, where they live or who they vote for, want to find common ground. I don't see any effort to find common ground from the other side. Do you? Or looking for it, want to see it, don't see it?
No, no. And look, there was a time I had many liberal friends that I loved, and I could find common ground with them. But now, if I have to agree that men can get pregnant, I have to agree that children should be subjected to drag queens, can't do it.
Yeah. Last question. Do you think that there is underneath it all, in maybe in hiding, a large group of people who are fundamentally liberals or Democrats who actually do agree with you but are afraid to say so and will at some point, you know, make their voices heard? Or do you think they just don't exist anymore?
I think they exist.
Okay. There you go. We're back. And I think John McTurnan has joined us. Are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. Very good. Say hey to Dave Nadel.
Hey. Hi, John.
Yes. Hello. Hello. Yeah, Pastor Ernie, you're real low to me, your voice.
All righty. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I can speak louder. Is that better?
I'll just strain harder, that's all.
See, if I turn this up so loud where you can hear me, then it'll be too loud for the others. It'll blow the headphones off
right.
Ron over here.
Okay, I'll just, keep your... I'll keep real close listening.
All righty, very good. Now,
Pastor, I think it's down for everybody, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, yes. Let me see what we can do. Can we... We can adjust that. Well, I see I'm pretty much potted up there. How do I sound, Craig? Am I? I just potted it up a little higher. Let me tell you if we're going over. Okay, that's as high as we can go right there, fellas. So I will speak loud. Now,
okay.
For both of you guys, one of the things that people keep asking about what is happening, I mean, in the days that we're living in here, total lawlessness, and over there in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 4, God says those that are in the total lawlessness, he will choose their illusion. He will choose their delusion. Mm-hmm. And it looks like God has really chosen a delusion out there today with this. We have today America because America has forgotten her God. America has forgotten her God. And the Bible says all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. We have in the White House someone who was not duly elected. He usurped that office. The truth is he usurped the office. The election fraud was off the scale. We have a man in there that, according to his own daughter, is a pedophile. According to Tara Reid, who worked for him, he is a sex offender. We know that this guy is promoting the program. Go ahead on that trans thing.
Yeah. Just recently, Joe Biden released a lengthy statement Thursday. This is last Thursday, proclaiming Transgender Day of Visibility that mentioned last year's mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Colorado, but completely failed to address the mass shooting at a Christian school in Nashville this week.
He actually was cracking jokes.
Yeah, smiling.
Yeah. And this man is demonic. He's right from the pit of hell. Okay.
And then there was another video, a little girl at the White House where he's groping her right in front of the parents. This was about 4 days ago.
It's an amazing thing. So now people are asking me, and you guys need to put your input in this, what do we do? First of all, here's what I'm telling people. One, because people are saying, well, my pastor says that we have to obey the government even if they're corrupt. If your pastor is telling you that, leave that church, because he's not raised up of God. That's not what the Bible tells us at all. It's far a thing from what the Bible tells us, that resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. And if the government is not in compliance with God, then the government needs to repent, not us. And they need to obey the word of God. And by the way, in America, government is to answer to the people, not vice versa. Now, we have an extremely, extremely corrupt system we're in today. You are not obligated, and I tell people you have no obligations at all to recognize any legitimacy now in that government. And the White House is corrupted, and so-called the Department of Justice, it is totally corrupt. And the FBI has become totally corrupt. And so you do not have to recognize that. What you need to do is make sure on a county level, because the federal government has been weaponized against we the people in this country. And what we have to do is start on the county levels, strengthen our county levels, make sure that our county sheriffs and that are with the people, protect the people. And then we in the church, the body of Christ, because there's an antichrist, an extremely growing antichrist sentiment. They're pushing this thing with these trans things. They're pushing this to start a civil war. And folks, we are obligated. When the Lord Jesus told the disciples to sell their garment and buy a sword, the purpose was to protect each other and protect them, their own lives, okay, in this time. And that's what we have to be prepared to do. Again, remember, the government has become, the federal government has really become the enemy of God and country. Okay, so now let me start with you, Dave. What do you say about all that?
Well, it's definitely true that the government has turned. We're so far from the Judeo-Christian principles that we were established in. The Bible, the scripture that always comes to my mind whenever we talk about this is what it says in 2 Timothy about evil and seducers, and that men will wax worse and worse and so on. And we're just watching that happen left and right. I just didn't talk to a group and said about when we talk about the restrainer in the scripture, is the restrainer somewhat drawing back from restraining right now? To where we're starting to see all these things be unleashed because of the time that we're in and because, evil has grown in the land, not only in our land, but the nations. Prayer, we have to pray for sure, and yes, we have to be wise about what we do. When the Bible talks about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves, it means, of course, that we protect ourselves, take care of ourselves, and a lot of what you were just saying there.
Well, they're abusing the children. We're seeing this. Any of these people that take their children to these trans, these drag queens, these people are just like those that offered up their children to Moloch. They're wicked, and they'll burn in hell for doing that. That's wicked as wicked gets. And so, here, now also, we see what's happening with these people. We're coming to a break, but when they're giving these young girls testosterone, it has an extremely negative effect upon them. And we'll talk about that with John McTernan right after this. Take us away. Ah.
awake, O Israel. Rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh! From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. They will possess their land. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold. And for your iron I'll give you silver, for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America,
awake, America.
Rise from your slumber,
rise from your slumber.
And the truth shall set you free.
Hosanna.
From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah.
Already back, and folks, I got to tell you, Doors of the Word Baptist Church is only going to have a morning service for Resurrection Sunday. This Resurrection Sunday, morning service only. And so we truly believe in the family spending Resurrection Sunday dinner together. And so we're going to have just a morning service only this coming Sunday. And Dave, do you need to make an announcement on your services?
Well, we just have one service every week, and our Resurrection Sunday is basically the same, 10:45 on Sunday morning, and we're usually there until about 12:30. Of course, this week will be, as we just finished Passover dinner on Tuesday night, we'll be taking the emblems on Sunday morning and celebrating the Lord and remembering his death till he comes.
Good. Praise the Lord. All right, do you want to give the address of your church?
3179 Hoagland Black Stub Road, or Bezetta Road, in Cortland, Ohio, 44410.
And the phone number?
330-638-2959.
All right, folks, Dave's, the church in Warren is one of our sister unregistered New Testament churches. John, we were talking about what happens when they're giving these young people, these young girls especially, this testosterone. What happens to them when that happens?
Yeah, it has a serious effect on them, Pastor Ernie, and it can make them depressed, very angry. It can make them violent against themselves, against others. This is not to be fooled with, Pastor Ernie. This is real serious stuff, taking a healthy female and dumping in loads of testosterone into her system is a very, very serious thing. And who knows what other drugs they may be taking in addition to it. I mean, marijuana and maybe others, maybe other prescription drugs. So this is really tampering with the stability, especially of young women.
And it seems to me that they've, you know, again, like you said, they've become very violent here. We're looking at the last six major shootings. In fact, they just found another one today. Another one of those trans things was planning for a Colorado school shooting and had anti-trans.
She had bombs.
She had
bombs and weapons. She was ready to go. She was going after the school.
Yeah.
Okay, now, was this an actual she or is this a trans? Because it says a trans male. You say they, you know, they're either a male or female. You know, they can call themselves.
Well, what I read, she was a female.
Already. Whiteworth is her name, faces charges of attempt. Let me take a quick look. But you've just had recently, these are the people, Eric and Dylan, Adam Lanza, Israel Keynes, Lauren Southern, Vaush Terrace, Donald J. Trump. I mean, unbelievable. That whole list of these people, these shooters, were all transes. And here, okay, now, this comes after trans identified female Audrey Hale, and she was, Audrey Hale was a actual female who wanted to be a male, and you say this woman here, this one is an actual female too here.
That's what I read. Yeah.
Alrighty, very good. So, I mean, isn't it something weird at a place, who would have thought 20 years ago that we would be sitting here talking about people that don't know the difference between a man and a woman, don't know that God only gave us two genders. There's only two genders. You can imagine all you want, right? But they've totally left off from reality, haven't they?
Pastor Ernie, I mean, God's turning them over to real delusions. They are not only them, but the ones supporting them.
You've got this one. Go ahead with that article there.
Yeah, I didn't see this online yet, but it's at the Gateway Pundit. Kill everyone now. Wyoming Democrat lawmaker posts video calling for the politically motivated murders, posts threatening photo on social media. So this is a Democratic lawmaker. I'm trying to get her name. State Rep. Carly Provenza posted a meme on Instagram Saturday, threatening opponents of the pro-trans movement. This violent threat comes just days after the transgender terrorist Audrey Hale murdered six people, including three children. So, if this was a Republican, they would probably already be in jail, but this is not even news.
Well, you know, right now, 40 state legislatures have passed or introduced legislation to restrict these transgender child abusers. And so that's the good news. And this is one of the things that's got them so riled up. And again, Obama, Biden, they're pushing this. Now, Dave and John both, I believe that, you know, they're really, that Biden is pushing and pushing hard to start a civil war. What do you guys think?
I think absolutely, Pastor Ernie. They're unrelentless and they're going to push and push and push and push us till, like right now, they push this over our children. They are insane because we will not allow them, our children, to be exposed, and our grandchildren, to be exposed to challenging the kindergarten, first, second grade. You know, little Johnny, are you sure you're a boy? I think. Little Sally, you sure you're a girl? Showing them perverted material, perverted books in the schools, all of that. This, they're being blocked, and this is driving them insane. And because they're being blocked, they're saying they're being threatened by that we're going to kill them, that we're going to kill them because we won't allow them to be exposed to little children.
Okay,
it doesn't get any worse than this, folks. This is our kids and our grandkids they want.
Every day in this country, three new Christian schools open every day, and they're seeing this. The communists, the antichrist communists, the Satanists, progressive, whatever, they're seeing this, and they're saying, we want your children, you can't take them away from us. Homeschooling now is skyrocketing, is growing. And Dave, what do you think? Do you think this plays a major role in this, the way that they're making things, you know, speeding things up so rapidly?
Well, you know what? I think back about the one commercial. This goes back about 7 or 8 years ago, where we have to convince these parents that these children don't belong to them. If you remember that, it was a Democratic commercial.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we look at, go back to Herod and killing the babies, go back to Pharaoh killing the babies, the male babies, this whole thing. It's like a spirit that's in the land, and it's people that are being used in an agenda they don't understand. You see from the very roots of these things, and we can go to organizations that we know about that part of the plan there is to neuter the man, push the unclean agendas on the land. When you talk about civil war and dividing and conquering and so on, all these things, how many times have we seen this over and over, and every time it tries to put on a new face, a friendly face, a we're here for you face, and you deserve all this face, and it's the same thing over and over again. I work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in our area. Was in none of the schools here locally in Warren City and Niles and the Trumbull County schools. And so I started going to the schools. I worked for 2.5 years and sometimes didn't get a phone call back or an email from any of those. When COVID hit, there was a group that was started by two gay men. One of them's a political figure. During 2020, I believe it was, or 2019, they started an agenda, a group called the Gay Straight Alliance, and within 1 year, that thing was in some of our local schools. I was not brought into any of that. Suddenly, we're asked to come in, I believe, because they had already let this other group in. And so meeting with one of these young people from the Gay Straight Alliance, the first question they wanted to know if they were to come to one of our meetings for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is a bunch of young, nice, clean kids that wouldn't hurt anybody, they wanted to know, are we going to be safe if we come to your meeting? So somebody has prompted these things and trained these people, these young people, 13, 14 years old. I don't believe that was a question this young person asked on their own. I think it was something that was put there for them. So I see all this. I, over the pulpit, have said numerous times, you need to teach your little boys to play with the G.I. Joe and the little girls to play with the Barbie doll. Because if they start switching now, they're going to be switching later.
Well, you're absolutely right. We just played a clip of General Flynn earlier this week. And he was very pleased that over 300 school boards, now county school boards nationwide, were taken back. They were taken back by the mm-hmm. Christians. The parents had gone in and taken the school boards back and kicked out the pornography. And so we're in a war. It's a culture war. And for 50 years now, 50 years on the radio, I've been telling people, if you love your kids, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. If you love them, get them out. Well, they're finally starting to realize, and that's happening. But it's not happening quick enough. And so, now, here's one of the things, what I think. I think you're seeing that they're so angry because so many Christian schools are starting that they're going to start going after. Antifa and Burn, Loot, and Murder has already said that they're going to start shooting white children. This is a part of their push to pushing for a civil war. So what do you think? Where do you go from here?
Pastor Ernie, I want to make a correction. What happened in Colorado was a male to female transgender.
That's what I thought.
I checked on that.
So, all right. So where do we go from here? It's late. We've been telling people for years and years. We got to take our country back. I'm gonna kind of switch over a little bit here. Dave just got back from Israel. I was supposed to be there with him, but my shoulder got in the way, and I ended up instead of Israel in a hospital. And so, Dave, you were over there, and things were starting to get a little spicy, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And actually, I thought you were giving me the cold shoulder, so I'm glad you told me you were having the surgery there.
No. You're
getting cold shoulder.
You're getting the old shoulder. It's in the mail.
Oh, the old shoulder. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it got a little tense. Actually, we stayed at a hotel right there in Jerusalem, which is across the street from the prime minister's offices and so on. And there was a lot of the nighttime protests there. They weren't violent where we were, as they got violent over in Tel Aviv and some other areas. But till midnight, the chants and the drums and the flag wavers and the police. And then, during the daytime, we'd see dignitaries driving by and that type of thing. But they, without ever firing a shot, without any real threat, they got the unions together. They shut down the airport. They shut down the parks. A lot of the banks and different businesses shut down to go along with them. And it was a scary time. We didn't know if we would be able to get out because we were 2 days from flying home and the airport shut down. I did see on the news there that in Germany, and I believe in France, if I remember correctly, some were in support of what was going on in Israel, and some were protesting against their own governments, shut down everything without ever a gun, without any real armament whatsoever, just with words and protest and how fast these things can change. And you look at that, and so I'm thinking about the people I have with me. I've got responsibilities back home. My wife was here and so on. And you see, in a matter of minutes, everything can change. So we were blessed to get out. We had a great trip and good places. We went to some of the places that had not been seen by too many people, the City of David and the Pilgrim's Road there and so on. Things that in 2006, when I was there at the Pool of Siloam, they hadn't uncovered any of that as yet. And so we're looking at King David's palace, palace walls, storefronts, and so on, and just amazing things, the history of world history, but biblical history, and the things that we teach and preach that others have tried to put a cap on or quiet. It's just amazing. So, it was a great trip. We did miss you. We were looking to do some live broadcasts from there. But anyway, it was a little bit of a scary time. We had to drive through some of the protesters, and there were thousands and thousands of them tying up the buses in the streets. One car at a time would get through a red light because they had everything tied up for so long. So, yeah.
Well, you know, the next time we go, I don't know if you're planning on going back again next year, whenever, count me in. We'll take McTernan with us and run here too, and we'll see what happens there. That ought to start a war, right? If Israel's still there, but count us in the next time you go back.
Did Netanyahu give in and rescind his order or not?
Netanyahu put a stop to the anti-Christian
judicial, right?
Yeah, what do you think about that? They're turning on there just like they are here. They're trying to outlaw. They literally wanted to outlaw the Christianity. Speaking of that, your buddy Toby or Tobiah, whatever, that rabbi that you guys both debated, he was out there trying to convince young Jewish people not to get saved. Tell us about that.
Oh, Toby, a singer. I think John has debated him. I actually had a major conversation with him on the street, Ben Yehuda Street, a couple years back here. But yeah, he's one of the heads of the anti-missionary move, and he himself goes on the street, on Ben Yehuda Street, and that's how we met. He came up to try to convince a group of young German fellows that their faith and their following Jesus as the Messiah was wrong, and I happened to be in the group talking to them at the time when he came over. So the anti-missionary is on the street doing missionary work.
Yeah.
And I know, I think Jesus said something about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So even some of the rabbis here in the States have addressed Tovia Singer and said, why is it that you only go after the Christians who minister to our people, or, you know, they're the ones that actually benefit the state of Israel by their presence and so on, and they're peaceful and, you know, assist us and so on. Why don't you go after the Baha'i or after the Hindus and the other organizations and religions? Why is it just them? And in all reality, the reason I believe is the fear of the power of this gospel that we preach. In the 1970s, in fact, I just had, we did the Passover dinner. I had a fellow here from Jews for Jesus. A little while back, I had Joel Chernoff with us, who the music group Lamb, and he's one of the leaders of the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America here. And he talked about the 70s, when I came to know Jesus as my Savior, about that same time, how many multitudes of those young Jewish fellows were coming to Christ, and congregations being established in Israel multiplied and multiplied from that time till now, and they're still growing, and the young people are coming to Christ. They see him as the Messiah, and they fear that. The other groups, I don't think they're growing like that. I don't think they're seeing that kind of response to their messages, but that's the power of our gospel, and praise God for that.
All right, do you want to comment on that, John?
Yeah, I debated him in New York City. Oh, he actually challenged me. Back in 2006, 2008, and around there, and it was very interesting. I was very pleased. In fact, I have a copy of it, and I transcribed it because people wanted to study the debate. But in the question and answer, it came down to Psalm 110, and he took over. The question was directed to me, or I was involved in it. And so I sat back and let him talk. When he finished, I said, Rabbi, that Bible that you have, is that Hebrew? He said, yes. I said, would you please read verse 5? Because verse 1 in Psalm 110 says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemy thy footstool. And David's Lord there has to, if he's the king, who's his Lord? And his Lord is the Messiah. And it says there that the word there is Adon, which is a noun for a like a world ruler, king. Right? And then verse 5 says, Adonai at thy right hand shall strike down kings in the day of thy wrath. And Adonai is the God of Israel. So when you put verse 5 and 1 together, it says that the Lord, which would be Yahweh, or in English Jehovah, at his right hand is Adonai. God is at the right hand of God, which of course is what we believe, that Jesus the Messiah is none other than the God of Israel. So he said he wouldn't read it. And I said, Rabbi, you're calling me a liar. You're telling me I'm twisting scriptures. Please read verse 5. He said, no, I won't. I said, well, it'll put an end to this argument. You're calling me names. Read verse 5 in Hebrew. He said, no, I won't. And it is about Jesus being the Messiah. He made a public confession that Psalm 110 was about Jesus being the Messiah. He ran to the front of the stage. He begged the people. He actually begged them, forgive me for what I said. I defiled this holy place. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Now, he made the video, and when I got a copy of it, it was cut out.
That's right.
Yeah, he knows Psalm 110 is about Jesus as the Messiah. And we don't have enough time to go into it, but I had him tied up in another area that the Messiah in Ezekiel 43, that the Messiah is going to build the temple and sit on the throne. And when you look in Ezekiel, who's sitting on the throne of David but the Holy God of Israel? He never addressed that. He would not address it. So he knows. He knows Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, and he is really he's in dangerous ground with the Lord by what he's doing.
Well, I don't think they can get any more dangerous than Isaiah 53, where they refuse to read Isaiah 53, and when they do, they claim that it's not referring to the man, the Messiah, but it's referring to the nation of Israel itself. And that makes absolutely no sense at all. I mean, that just absolutely, makes it no sense at all if you read Isaiah 53. And so, but now, Dave, there in Israel, we've noticed that there's a number of those who are professing to be Orthodox Jews now are acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They're acknowledging that, but they still, it seems like they want to continually to try to mix law and grace. We have virtually Judaizers, do we not?
Absolutely. Yeah, the when I take our groups there, I always take them to the Temple Institute, and I let them see what's going on there, and I explain to them that this is not really what we're looking for, that we know that when the temple is built, it's not going to be Jesus that resides there, but that the man of sin that they're looking for, which is a man. I try to say all the time, you've got to look into some of the depths of what these people believe and where these things go. And, what I found is in most of the religions, Islam, the deep parts of Judaism, the infidels all deserve to die. And we're the only ones who say we pray for the infidels. And as John was talking about his debate, which I watched the video that Tovia Singer put out on that, and I've watched a lot of them. In my conversation with him, what I got him to acknowledge was how many times Israel fell into idolatry, as you call us idolaters, and how many times Israel was driven out of the land for their idolatry.
And absolutely. Dave, we're up against a hard break, so hold tight. We'll be back right after this, and we'll pick it up right there. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.